Now then, let's go to May 26th, 1959.
Yes, and of course I had just been traded over to Pittsburgh.
Had you recently arrived there?
Well, that to start that season.
Yeah, okay.
In fact...
So it's only the second month.
We were all new with Pittsburgh at the time, mm-hmm. and we were in Milwaukee. In fact, early that morning, I got up in Pittsburgh about 6 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and we flew to Milwaukee for a night game here in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of it, I had the flu.
Oh, no.
Yes, I sure did. Well, anyway, I remember I didn't feel good, but in about the middle of the afternoon, I had a hamburger and a milkshake, and I headed for the ballpark, mm-hmm. not feeling good. I intended to pitch,
yeah.
no matter what.
Yeah.
And we get out there, and Danny held the meeting, and before the ball game, of how we were going to hit or pitch and defense against the Milwaukee Ball Club,
mm-hmm.
a clubhouse meeting before the game. Well, I'm conducting the meeting, how I'm going to pitch these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, I got on the old thing of pitching high and tight and low and away. And I can remember at the end of that meeting, it broke it up, Don Hoke spoke up and he said, Harvey said, if you pitch those guys that way, you're going to pitch a no-hitter. This was before the ball game now. And with that, it broke up the meeting. We all laughed and said, the heck with it, let's go. We went out there and got into the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And of course...
You were against Lou Burdett.
Lou Burdett, again, yeah. who's the man that I beat in
yeah.
my first ball game in the major leagues.
Yeah.
And we got into the ball game, and of course I had the no-hitter going, and there was no doubt about it. I felt lousy. I sucked on throat lozenges the whole ball game, so I wouldn't cough while I was out there on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a kind of a rainy, stormy night. You didn't know whether he was going to play. You didn't know whether
yeah.
he was going to get rained out. There was lightning in the background and everything. It was a weird night. And the game kept going on, and I knew I had the no-hitter.
Yeah.
And of course,
when did you begin to really be conscious of it?
Well, I was conscious of it all the way.
Yeah.
In fact, before that, one time against Philadelphia, I'd went to the ninth inning with a no-hitter.
Uh-huh.
And Richie Ashman came up and broke it up for me yeah. to lead off the ninth inning.
Yeah.
So I'd been through this thing before.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I did not try for the no-hitter. I just kept right on going and just one up, two up, three up and down they went. All through till the ninth inning, and I said, I've been this close before, I'm going to go for it. Now the score is nothing to nothing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only inning of that ball game that I really went to try to throw a no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it my all at that
time.
And you
did, and you got it.
And we got him out in the ninth inning, and of course we didn't score, so we keep on going.
Yeah.
And it was clear in... Every inning, as I would, I'd say from the seventh inning on, every time I'd appear on the field, either going to the mound or to the bat or wherever,
mm-hmm.
the people would stand and cheer me.
Sure.
The hometown.
I know it.
And it made me feel pretty good.
Should hope.
That these people, and sometime late in the ballgame, I came to bat, and I can remember Lubert or Dale Crandall was the catcher, and... He says to me, he says, Harvey says, you got a pretty good ball game going. He didn't say
yeah.
the magic word. He
That's
just
right.
said that. And of course, yeah, I said, I guess I have. And we kept on going. And every inning, I walk in and out. And there's the big scoreboard right up
yeah,
there in front of me.
Staring you in the face.
You can see exactly
yeah.
what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it went into the 13th inning. And... the first batter up for Milwaukee in the 13th inning was Felix Mantilla. And he hit the most routine ground ball to third base that you would ever want to Don Hoke. He had so much time that he picked the ball up, looked at the seams, and got the ball just right, and threw it in the dirt at first base.
Yeah,
and Nelson didn't handle the ball, so the spell was broken with that man right there.
The perfect game is broken.
Yes, the perfect game.
And with it, the spell, but
well,
it's still
now,
a no-hitter. Yeah.
I didn't know that I had done something nobody else had ever done.
Oh, my, yes.
No, I didn't know that. I knew that I had a no-hitter. But I was never a stat man, you know, that worried about stuff like that. I knew that I'd had a no-hitter, but it did not affect my pitching as far as that's concerned. Mm-hmm. The next man was Eddie Matthews. Mm-hmm. He sacrificed Mantilla to second base, and I threw Eddie out at first. The next man was Hank Aaron. We walked him intentionally mm-hmm. to set up for a force out or a double play or whatever. And the next man up was Joe Adcock.
You had handled him four times.
Pretty good, yes. And with the second pitch to him, I got a slider a little bit up and out over the plate. It wasn't a bad pitch. It wasn't a good pitch. It was just
good enough that Joe
was good enough, and you have to give him credit. He didn't try to pull the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He went with it and hit it over the right center field fence as a right-handed batter.
Yeah.
Now the score wound up 1-0.
Yeah. Here, he passed somebody on the
here is what happened. Felix Mantilla, who was on second base, rounded third and scored.
Yeah.
Hank Aaron was on first. He ran down and touched second base and turned around and ran back across the pitcher's mound. He knew they only needed one run to win.
Right.
In the meantime, Adcock had ran around second base, and the umpires ruled that he'd passed Aaron on the bases, and that's why the score wound up 1-0 instead of 3-0.
Yep, I know it.
But 2 years ago, I found out almost the impossible thing. Bob Buell was a pitcher on the Milwaukee Braves pitching staff at that time.
Yeah.
He said, I stood in center field with the binoculars and relayed every pitch that you threw to the hitters.
Jerk.
And they still didn't get a hit. And they knew every pitch was coming.
That's incredible.
He relayed them off of the catcher to a guy sitting next to him who had a towel on his shoulder.
Yeah.
If it was a fastball, they didn't move it.
Mm-hmm.
If it was anything else, they moved the towel.
I can't believe that.
Every pitch they knew was coming.
Yeah. Because I've talked to so many guys who said we beat so-and-so because they were
calling the pitches.
Like two of them have told me, Joe Sewell and someone else, that in the 1920 World Series against Brooklyn, when Burley Grimes, the old spitballer, was pitching, Johnny Rawlings at second base would always reach down and get a handful of dirt if it was going to be a spitter. They picked that up and they beat him. And years later, he told Burley and says, oh, I knew you were getting something. Anyway, I listened to that whole game of yours, it was a thrill, I tell you, to listen to it. And it was a sad moment when that ball went over the fence, because your guys had lots of chances to win it. I think you got 13 hits.
12 hits, I think we had, yes.
Off of Burdette. Were there any close plays there? I mean, was anybody thrown out at the plate that could have been the winning run?
There was a base running mistake made by Roman Mejias. I think he was on first base and a base hit, and he hesitated rounding second base going to third, and I think he got thrown out.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is, remember I told you it was a stormy night?
Yeah.
Bob Skinner hit a ball into right field. Mm-hmm. It was out of the ballpark. Henry Aaron went back to the fence and stood there and put his hands down. A gust of wind came up and blew it back in the ballpark, and Aaron caught it.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yes. But the strangest thing of all to me, there was only about two real tough plays from our side.
Yeah.
I think it was Johnny Logan hit a real hot scooter at Dick Schofield at shortstop. Though Schofield was playing shortstop and Dick wasn't. I do not know at this time why.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, another man was missing from our lineup at that time, and I didn't realize it until later. Roberto Clemente did not play in that ball game.
That could have made a difference.
It sure could have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I think there was a ball hit pretty well to center field, and Bill Verdon hauled down easily. There was no trouble. And I think there was a line drive by Matthews to Rocky Nelson at first base. All the rest of them were the most routine. There was no running, diving catches or nothing. It seemed so easy some nights.
Isn't that so?
Yes.
And you can see, because they're There are guys who, didn't even belong in the major leagues practically, who on a certain day pitch a no-hitter. Holloman, for instance, and directors like that.
I think he pitched a no-hitter the first ball game
he pitched. He didn't win another game.
Two or three more ball games after that, I believe.
Well, that was a great moment, and it's one that will remain in baseball history, Harvey. Somebody might someday pitch 13 or more hitless innings or perfect innings, but hasn't happened yet.
Well, it's just one of those things. The situation has to be right. Usually a team has a run or so or something.
Yep.
And so the opportunity has to be there for the fellow to be able to
it. It'll be very rare to have a scoreless game into the 13th, 14th inning. It's happened, of course.
Yes.
Johnny Vandermeer tells me that in his two straight no-hitters, there were only, in the two games together, there were only about two plays that were really tough and close. One, he knocked down a liner and chased it and got it to first base in time. But those things just happen sometimes.
That's what makes our game of baseball so great.
Sure.
You never know what can happen.
All right.